Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer back at it again. Courtney Cronin and me broke down the Rome Odunze trade, but we had to add in just a little bit of an update because not 25, maybe 30 minutes after we finished recording the podcast, we got the Caleb Williams signing news. So we'll start it off with that. Then you'll see me and Courtney come in and break down the Rome Odunze signing as well. But as per Adam Schefter, Caleb Williams, Chicago's number one overall pick, is signing a four-year, fully guaranteed contract worth $39 million. That includes a $25.5 million signing bonus and a fifth-year team option per sources. And this is huge. I'm glad that we got this done. I'm glad that we could stop talking about the stories that mean absolutely nothing. The stories that, I mean, let's be real. They're good for off-season content. They're good to get likes. They're good to get clicks. They're good to get views. But at the end of the day, there was never a worry in my mind that the Chicago Bears weren't going to be able to go out there and get Caleb Williams' deal signed. I think more so when you look at the Caleb Williams deal, when you look at the Rome Odunze deal, when you see these not only just the guarantees, but the signing bonus that these guys got, I think that that is more of why we saw this maybe take a little bit longer to get done. I think that you look at those deals and you see a team that has more of an ability to be cap flexible by more incorporating more money into those signing bonuses. I believe Caleb Williams comes down based on Spotrac at a little bit over $7 million. Rome is all just under $5 million per year. That leaves you about $12 million to work with in cap space. That's a good thing for the Chicago Bears to have. That allows you to still be able to go out there and get another player. And I think that that's why you saw this possibly take a little bit longer as well, because the thought of adding another player onto this team that can be an impact player is not just the guy like, I don't know, like an Emmanuel Ogba to me. Like, it's not just a body to have on the team, but somebody that you think could be an impact, maybe a Yannick Ngakoue, maybe a Connor Williams type of player. That intrigues me. And as a Bears fan, I think that, you know, it shows that this team is still showing that foresight that we've credited them for so often. That's the thing that I love about how Ryan Poles is running this, what we're seeing from him, why we're seeing things, where he's dotting his I's and crossing his T's. He's not taking the time to sit there and he's not rushing. He's taking the time to sit there and say, okay, we want to get this deal done, but how does this deal done affect us next season? How does it affect us 2 years down the line? How does it affect how we want to move with the team? How does it affect how we want to attack at this point? How does it, right? Like, I feel like Ryan Poles is doing such a good job at doing his due diligence, and it gives me such a confidence in what he is building here. And I'm going to tell you this right now, right? The few missteps that we've seen from Ryan Poles, the few missteps that we've looked at and said, I don't think that was a good move for you. You can get over them when you consistently see a guy be able to go out there and get things done like this that still allow the Chicago Bears to have really freaking good players, to still allow the Chicago Bears to have players who can make an impact right away, to have really good veterans on your team, and still have a good amount of cap flexibility to be at this point where you're going into camp, where you're going to see the camp cuts, where you're going to see the guys who maybe are the not bad players, right? They're not over the hill talent wise, but we just don't want to pay you what you're getting paid anymore. When you see those kind of names pop up throughout training camp after the cuts come in and you got to get down to the 53, that's a time where you can go out and you can sign a guy, where you can sign a guy that you feel is going to make an impact. And I think that's how Ryan Poles is going to go about attacking this. I'm just glad that we got the deal done. I'm glad that the Bears were able to finally put all of this behind them. Now we can just focus on the football of football. Now, as we get to the weekend, I'll be up at training camp, sitting there getting my eye on everything that's going on up there, and I'll be focused in on some very big names that are question marks on this team. Number one, Nate Davis. Number two, Matt Eberflus. I'm not sitting here going back. We got a couple of episodes where we talk about that as well. Make sure you guys tap in over there. I'm not going to rehash the entire conversation, but now you can talk about the football of getting football done. And that's the part that to me is the most important thing with this team. I'm glad that we didn't even get anywhere near Saturday, which is something that me and Courtney had talked about. Do we think that you could get past Saturday and this type of deal wouldn't get done? She the entire entire time was saying there's no way that we get to Saturday and this deal isn't done. I think that this is it shows the foresight, like I said, of Ryan Poles. It shows the difference in the Chicago Bears front office. It shows the growth that this team has. And I think that it really does put the Bears in a really good position, not only this season, but moving forward with now having two really good, really young players who are going to me, I think, make a bigger impact than most people believe. There's something to be said about a team that is able to go out there and have two young players who realize that their futures can be tied to each other as closely as Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze are, right? It's almost the Kelce Mahomes kind of combination. Not to say that that's the players that they're going to become. I hope so, but not to say that that's who they're going to become. But you're getting that Kelce Mahomes kind of combination where you look at the team and basically go, I mean, we got something here that could be here for a long time, that could have some longevity. So the fact that the Bears are able to have that right now, I'm very excited by it, and we'll see what this ends up being. Now, let's tap into the conversation me and Courtney had about Roma Dunze and what that could mean with him moving forward. Because like I said, these guys are going to have a career that even in year one, I think you're going to see more out of than most people anticipate. Look who's back, ladies and gentlemen. Courtney Cronin back in the building. She has had a little bit of time away and a heck of a lot of time doing First Take, and what a phenomenal job at it.
Thank you.
Getting Shea Norling involved in the show. Wasn't expecting that on a morning back.
That was fun. Like, I didn't think about the 999 challenge that Shea failed until that moment. But when we were doing the show on 4th of July, I thought, okay, this is, you know, it's in conjunction with us talking about the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Yeah. Who was there, who wasn't there? And then we got asked the question of the food challenge that we would want to participate in. And I just remember hearing how miserable that was for Shay and thinking, you know, if I were to have to do any sort of food challenge, I would do that one. And I wouldn't be set up for failure by David Kaplan by drinking a bunch of beers on my way up to Milwaukee before then agreeing to do the 999 challenge. So it's been a great summer. We go to training camp at the end of the week. It's wild that it's already here. I know that, you know, usually my brain as an NFL beat reporter expects that I have at least one more week where it's sort of quiet, but you know, the Bears are going into this thing full steam ahead. The rookies reported on Tuesday, and
but we got one that is signed. We heard from Ian Rapoport. Roma Dunze got his deal done, and I mean, listen, this has been a conversation. I guess not a overly worried conversation, mm-hmm. because it almost seems like this is how the Bears are doing business a little bit now. But Ian Rapoport talked about Roma Dunze has signed his 4-year, $22.7 million guaranteed contract with a 5th-year option on it, and he gets a $13.3 million signing bonus on the day to rookies report. Now, that $13.3 million is the part that caught my eye, because I mm-hmm. wonder if that's kind of what was holding things up. Hey, we want to work some money out, move some money in a different spot, because we want to still have some money.
Yeah, I mean, the deferral with these signing bonuses, when you think about, like, these are slotted contracts, 1 through 32, thanks to the CBA of a couple of, you know, the last CBA, more or less, that put the rookie wage scale into play. So where we don't have these massive contracts, like the one that Matthew Stafford signed, like the one that Sam Bradford, Cam Newton was the last big one in 2010. But it's meant so these are supposed to be easy to negotiate, which Roma Dunze has an NFL PA certified agent. He is not handling it the way that Caleb Williams is, who is self-representing. He does not have an NFLPA certified agent who can do the negotiating with the Chicago Bears, which he has talked about before. He has not shied away from expressing that that is something that is his prerogative. That's what he wants to do. But I know that with, you know, with Rome at the number 9 spot, like that $13.3 million signing bonus, sometimes the holdup with these contracts can be, how are you deferring payment? Like, effectively, can you get like an interest-free loan, more or less, if you can defer this payment, you know, based on a certain schedule? That's really it as far as anything that was the reason behind holding this up. Certainly the Bears are happy that this is done because now they have one remaining, but it's usually the schedule of the signing bonus, meaning the payment for that. As we saw with Roquan Smith in 2018, like anything that would void guarantees. And with receivers, with quarterbacks, you don't usually have that. With Roquan Smith, that was an issue because of the helmet rule that was new in 2018 and the position he plays at linebacker. That was a little trickier. But I'm not sure as to why Roma Dunze's contract did not get signed before, you know, just about 1 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday. But this is the day that rookies report. It's the day that he's in the facility. You have to have a contract signed to be on any team property, to be in the building, to practice, to just, you know, be present there. Like, you know, and it's different than what happens during rookie minicamp. You sign a waiver to be there. You don't, that's why you kind of like pushes it off. You don't have to sign your rookie deal the second you get drafted, but it's not a headache anymore of wondering, okay, are these things going to get done? Are they not going to get done? And I'm not saying for the Bears it's a headache. It's a headache for people having to cover this, wondering, why is this taking so long? It's July 16th, but one down, one to go. And from what I've been told, things are, quote, progressing inside Halas Hall towards getting Caleb Williams done, which the Bears are not thinking that this won't be done before they take the field on Saturday. There is still the question of who exactly is negotiating with the front office, because Caleb Williams has told people he has, you know, his lawyers, his attorneys. From my understanding, there are two lawyers who are handling these negotiations in some capacity for, you know, on behalf of Caleb Williams. However, if you're not NFLPA certified, you can't technically negotiate with the team. Yeah. So technically, they'd only be able to talk with the player who told people on Saturday at his Caleb Cares event, I'm not handling those things. So very clearly, somebody behind the scenes on his team has to have some level of NFLPA certified. He doesn't have to be, that person, he or she doesn't have to be an agent.
Right.
They just have to be certified as a contract negotiator via the Players Association and what has been agreed to in order to have those conversations with the Bears front office, in order to fully take it out of Caleb Williams' hands.
Yeah, no, 100%. That was going to be kind of my fault. Like, who do we see on his team that's doing that? But it is unknown. And I was there on Saturday. And when you heard him say it, it was like, oh, okay. Like, I guess he's got somebody in there who is league certified, because with Roquan, right, we remember the debacle that went down with St. Omni, and all of a sudden it's just like, who's this?
Yeah, don't remind me.
St. Omni was great. We've still never seen St. Omni. Can we
talk about that? Do you want to see if he, like, you know,
St. I swear, I my entire time, I was like, you can't tell me St. Omni isn't just Roquan Smith with a voice changer. Like, I the entire time it was going on, I was like, it's just Roquan sitting there going like,
you know, can I get a call back on this? You know, we really got a deal ready to work out.
Like, that's all it was to me. I know that's
wild.
What it was.
That is wild. You just pulled that voice changer out of nowhere. That would that's going to freak out anybody who's not watching us on YouTube right now and only listening via, you know, wherever you get your podcast. But it's just a completely different situation. Like, how the Bears are able to handle this when it is a structured contract. There is wiggle room within the guarantees, like just in terms of the payout schedule for that. But that's it. Like, it's not the same thing as somebody going for a second contract where you draw the parameters up. That's why you have a good agent if you have one, why most players will and do. And I wonder, like, for Caleb, you know, by the time he gets there, assuming the first couple of years of his career go according to plan and he's done, you know, everything he needs to do in order to get that second contract, will he then want somebody else to come in and then handle those negotiations? I have never been under the impression that this is something where from the people I've spoken with in the organization, no one's been under the impression that Caleb has been trying to handle negotiations in a way that would, like, I don't know, like, do away with certain parts of the contract or try to, like, you know, negotiate things that, you know, are not currently there for the number one overall pick. That to me is that's just never been, like, part of the conversation. Like, the outside speculation has maybe put that into the mix, but from everything I've been told, this has, of course, it's taking a little longer because things get a little bit more complicated when you don't have an agent that you can call up to get this thing done, or a player doesn't have an agent you can call up to get this thing done. But that doesn't mean that the silence right now is indicative of it's not going to get done in the coming days before training camp.
So then you don't think that we're dealing with kind of what Shefty had talked about when he was on with Waddle and Sylvie earlier, I think a couple weeks ago, where it's basically said Caleb Williams really wants to do his own thing, break the system, do things that are typical, that are atypical. So it wouldn't surprise me if this situation lingers a little bit longer than most rookie situations. Mm-hmm. That should just be formalities. I struggled to read that end part. Good grief, Pat.
Yeah, but like, I mean, no, I think that's, you know, what Adam had reported there is everything that we've been told. Like, it's progressing along. Like, yes, right. this in Caleb, maybe, like, there's, I think so much of that is, you know, you're not hearing it from him. You're hearing it from people that are in and around the situation that, oh, this might be a reason for a holdup. This might be a reason for a holdup. He may want this out of his rookie deal. Like, the fact of the matter is, these are very cut and dry contracts. So, yeah. Let's just say he wanted to do away with something like the fifth-year option. First off, the NFL would have to, like, there's no way that the Bears can just be like, okay, let's sign off on this. You don't need a fifth-year option. You can just have a four-year contract.
Right.
Like, you know, everybody, all the draft picks do rounds 2 through 7. That would have to be collectively bargained. And there's no way that the Bears could more or less break a rule in, like, of what's been collectively bargained right now in order to grant Caleb Williams something beyond what is already slated for him as number one overall pick. I don't think that this is something that is going to, like, by the time this contract's said and done, like, we'll see eventually what the payout schedule is for the signing bonus, and you'll get a chance to see how much he gets up front, what it looks like beyond this, but beyond, like, you know, year one, year two, year three, like, going into year four, and then, of course, what the fifth-year option is. He may be somebody that wants to change the system, and that's great. But I don't know if you're going to do that by any, like, I just can't find a path for him to do that via the rookie contract.
Right. Here's the thing too. Like, that is such a great point, because it doesn't mean he doesn't ask, right? Maybe he is, right?
And you can, and that's your prerogative. It's just that.
Which may cause it to take a little longer. They got to call the front of the NFL offices and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, Saturday is the deadline here, Pat, for something to happen. That's, like, the real true deadline. And I don't foresee it going all the way up until then. But there are people who, you know, people have reached out to me being like, hey, what are you hearing? Because it's all been really, really quiet this front for a couple of weeks now, ever since Caleb told us, I believe it was June 14th or 15th, that I'm not handling any of that. Like, he talked about how he was going to approach his contract. And then it's like, all right, well, all these weeks have led up to now to where rookies are set to report. Just because today is report day doesn't mean that it's, like, the final deadline for him to get it done. The deadline, as I just said, is Saturday, when everybody's there. I would imagine, though, that for this is somebody who has talked pretty openly and eagerly about trying to get on the field, that, like, there's not going to be some snag in it, at least nothing that you can foresee right now that would prevent that from happening.
Is there a chance that, not that he doesn't get on the field, but maybe that he doesn't get on the field by the deadline in your mind right now?
By Saturday?
No.
I don't think that will happen. I think that Saturday is far enough away to where the Bears have time to get this thing done. And, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, hey, they've had so much time. Why is this taking so long? Well, this is how negotiations work. It's not a matter of, like, okay, on my deadline, my timeline, we're going to get it done right now. It's the art of leverage. And some people say, well, what leverage does he have? Not much outside of potentially the signing bonus and trying to work around, like, you know, getting those payments, you know, when those payments come to him for $25.5 million. Remember, Devin Weatherspoon, the cornerback for the Seahawks last year, kind of had not a similar situation. He kind of had, like, similar to what I'm talking about. Like, I think there was, like, a very, very brief hold in until he got his contract signed, because there was something to do with the deferral of those payments. Now, he wasn't a first round pick. He wasn't a first overall pick the way that Caleb is. Probably would fit more in line to, like, what Roma Dunze, you know, tracks for this team, and he just signed his deal today. But his thing went on a little bit longer. I think there might have been a couple training camp practices that he was not there for. Because remember, if you don't sign your contract, you cannot be at the facility, you cannot play, you cannot practice, you can't do any of that. I think that the Bears have been smart financially in what they've done the last couple of years in trying to get this roster to a place where it has quality players and pay that reflects the quality within their players. It's just a matter now of, you know, you want to have these things wrapped up. You don't want it hanging over you, but I don't get the sense that they feel that Caleb's thing is like some big black cloud that is about to just like rain on their parade if it's not done by the end of, you know, a day or two.
Yeah, it's... I think that this is almost a sign of what changes have been, because even in Adam's, when Adam was on with Waddle and Sylvie, Adam Schefter, he was like, these deals are normally done quickly with the Bears. Like, these are normally not slow deals. And that is the case in the past since before Ryan Poles has gotten there. But those players usually aren't the guys that you feel like are going to be the franchise altering guys. And I like the fact that our franchise isn't just bending over backwards to acquiesce to any whim that's thrown out there. I like the fact that they're more willing to sit there and say, well, let's have a back and forth on this. Okay, you go back to your team and see what they think about this. You come back. And it can be that without animosity, right? I guess the Roquan Smith deal got a little bit contentious at a certain point. But for the most part, with all of these deals, the front office has been in communication with everybody. It hasn't been, hey, like, we hate you and we think that you're not worth what you're worth. We just want to get you at this price. And if you could prove us more, go out and prove it. Like, I think that it's just, it shows again, the growth that the Bears have had from previous organizations to now, where it's almost as if, again, I'll say it, they're operating not like a mom and pop shop. They're operating like a multi-billion dollar NFL team.
And that's, every team will go through this at some point. And I do think that now that players, the ones coming in, have been able to capitalize off of their name, image, and likeness, it does make it a little bit more challenging when you think about guys who need that signing bonus, need it up front, and will do anything to get their money right away. A lot of these players, Caleb Williams included, have already made, you know, what has been reported is millions of dollars off of who they are as college football players before they ever play a down in the NFL. I think as this becomes more of the norm, and where you have, maybe it's player who, you know, number 32 in the draft order making multi-million dollars before he ever gets to the NFL. Whereas, you know, Caleb's still, I wouldn't say an anomaly, but like the type of money that he reportedly made, whether it's through the Wendy's ad, through Beats by Dre, through Dr. Pepper, like all of these things, like, that type of money, I feel, in college football is going to become more normal over the next 5 years for all of the top prospects. Right. You know, not just the top quarterback, not just the top, you know, top two or top one pick. But that's, you know, the NFL has a chance to ratify the CBA. I mean, they just did it in 2020. They can always go and try to draw an amendment to it, but they've got to figure out, now that name, image, and likeness is changing the game of what players are making before they ever come into the NFL, is there something that they need to do with these contracts down the line? But getting owners to agree on that when they have, you know, when it's to their favor that these things are slotted, that I know I'm drafting fifth overall, I am paying this much because it affects your salary cap in a certain way. It allows you to cap plan that way. It allows you to determine what you're doing with your finances that year. And you know it at the end of, you know, the end of the season when the draft order is set. I would be hard pressed to think that owners are going to want to change anything, because it does them no good to negotiate any differently than they're doing right now.
Does NFL get to keep their NIL deals, or do they have to let those go when they're done with college? Because I know,
I think it depends what you negotiate.
Yeah, like, I didn't know.
Don't you remember the deal that Jervon Dexter signed? Like, it was just like a abusive deal in terms of what it did.
Yeah,
to like keep him locked into it beyond probably what he thought he was signing. I think it all depends on the exact language that's within those deals. Like, you know, it could be some sort of sponsorship or, you know, endorsement that you have with a company that carries on beyond your time in college. Sure, I don't know the exact language on what they would allow, but it's, you know, that stuff's probably going to, you know, start having some hard and fast rules here in the near future based on what we know about how NIL has, you know, been negotiated so far in college sports.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Like Jervon was supposed to keep carrying that on, but that was a weird story that just kind of went away, actually. He won the lawsuit, though. But I know like when Angel Reese came in, she was like, no, I had to renegotiate everything because the NBA doesn't allow certain things. The WNBA, yeah, allow certain things. I didn't know if the NFL had to.
That's an interesting one. I think that's one that like we need to circle back on because it could be different by each league.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know, I think Angel and Caitlin both had to like renegotiate everything because it was a like NIL money is an allocated college deal.
Sure.
Versus now I'm just endorsing you. Mm-hmm. Now you're just, you know, you're just on the brand. So, but we'll see. We'll see. Listen, the fact that we got this done, got one of them done. I'm glad that we can stop talking about the non-stories, right? I hope that this offseason is filled with a host of non-stories. Nate Davis, please practice so that that can be a non-story. You know what I mean? Like all of these things that we needed to get us through the 6 weeks of no football when it's just like, all right, we're in week four. What's there to talk about? And then all of a sudden somebody's like, oh, the Bears hate Nate Davis. Like, where did that come from? I didn't hear that from anybody. I mean, like, those are the ones that I'm glad to be done. And this is another one. So appreciate you guys for tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below on Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze both being signed with the Chicago Bears. I think it's a great thing that we've got them both under wraps. Like I said, let us know your comments in the thought. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below. I had a stroke right there. That was crazy. As always, it's your boy Pat the Designer. For Courtney Cronin, y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.